call Senate State Affairs to order. It is about 9:08, and present with us, we have Senator Diesel, our vice chair, Senator Coghill, and Senator Witkowski is excused, and I believe Senator Stedman is excused. And assisting us today, the LIO connection with Lori Bird, and our Senate records of Nancy Jones, obviously the A-team. We only have one bill up this morning, Senate Bill 63, Contracts for Preparation of Ballots. Please come forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Laura Pierce, staff to Senator Fairclough. And I'll give a brief overview of the bill, and then I'm happy to walk through the sections. There's only three, so it should be fairly brief. Essentially, what Senate Bill 63 does is requires the Division of Elections to go out to bid for the preparation of ballots for our elections in the state. Currently, they offer a sole source contract to whoever they wish. Currently, the person who is the company who's printing has had that contract for about 12 years. And the price of the contract is just under $600,000, and this would require them to go out to bid for it. It does not put them under the procurement code, so the procurement office and general services would not be handling it. It would actually be handled by the director of the division, which I think gives them a bit of flexibility as far as writing the bid and determining who would best be able to fulfill the printing of our ballots. They would have to issue it to the lowest bidder, but with that said, they could use some discretion as far as, is this person qualified? Do they meet the requirements laid out in the bid process? So that's what the bill does.
Any questions for the committee so far? Senator Giesel.
Well, I just have one. Laura, what you said is that this is outside the procurement process, which must be why in Section 2, little letter B, it says Alaska bidder preference of 5% and product preference of 7%.
So Senator Giesel, through the chair, they would still be able to qualify, bidders would still be able to qualify for Alaska bidder preference or Alaska product preference. As far as falling under procurement, it wouldn't be handled by the procurement office and general services, and any sort of procurement that's handled by them is usually done for multi-agency procurements. This is specifically for the Division of Elections, therefore it would be handled by the Division of Elections.
Follow-up question? So why then, if they get the Alaska bidder preference and Alaska product preference, are you specifying the percentages in letter B? Aren't you limiting? I mean, what if those preference percentages change?
Those are the current preference percentages laid out in statute. Certainly, if the legislature chooses to change them in the future, we would also amend this section of law.
Okay. I guess I'm just wondering why it wouldn't be more expeditious simply to say would receive Alaska bidder preference and Alaska product preference rather than state the amount. I'm just details. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, thank you. Laura, the amount of the business presence preference is established in code somewhere else?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. Under the Alaska procurement system, Alaska bidder preference is a 5%, and Alaska product preference is 7%. So the maximum percentage deduction that a Alaska bidder product preference could receive is 12%.
So I understood you to say that this is not under the procurement code, but the procurement code would still apply to this? Help me with that.
These two preferences would still apply. The Alaska bidder and the Alaska product preference would still apply.
So that, I think you're saying then that they apply to everything, including this new provision that this department that is not under. Well, I know the last skip bidder is defined somewhere else, and so it has that content just because of it. Okay, I'm getting it. All right, thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions? All right, please proceed.
Okay, so I'll just walk through, Mr. Chairman, the bill for the committee, starting with Section 1 on page 1, of course. And this just has to do with the preparation of an official ballot that's prepared by the division and a printing company. There are some technical changes simply in this section. Our drafting attorney chose to update some of the words used in law. You'll see on line 11, changing assure to ensure. And then on line 14, this is the substantive change in section 1, stating that the preparation of ballots on a regional basis, if necessary, shall contract rather than may contract. So, and then the reference to AS 1515031 is the new section of law that's in section 2 of this bill.
All right, help an engineer and fisherman. What's the difference between insure and assure?
To insure, the director shall number ballots in a series to ensure simplicity. Is more of a guarantee.
I don't. It's academic.
Subtle nuance.
Yes. Sometimes when you get some time, or there's a dictionary around, I'd enjoy being informed. Please continue.
Section 2 is just current statute. Page 2. Page 3. Again, just changes made by our drafting attorney. Inserting a period, starting a new sentence. And then you'll see on line 4 and 5, and provisions shall be made for making each question yes or no. That's being moved. If you look down on line 15 and 16, that's just taking it from that location and moving it up. Again, drafting attorney. So page 4, this is where section 2 is. This is the new section we are proposing to add into statute. This is specifically relating to the preparation of election ballots, and this outlines for the division how they go about the process for putting out the bid. It also points out the preference for the Alaska bidder as well as the Alaska product, and it does give those definitions there.
Excuse me. In the procurement code, is there a a preference for minority, women-owned, or native offers?
Mr. Chairman, I do believe that there is a preference. I can't think of it off the top of my head right now what it is. I don't believe that it would apply to this section, new section, however.
Yeah, I would assume it doesn't apply because you haven't spelled it out.
Right.
And obviously that's Senator Fairchild's choice. All right.
And the last section, Mr. Chairman, is on page 5. This is the applicability. This would apply to elections conducted on or after January 1st, 2014.
Thank you. Senator Fairclough told me earlier that she's wanting to get this done in order to get the department 14, 16 months to prepare. Senator Coghill.
Back to section 2, up on sub B. I understand what a responsive bidder is, but is there a term of art that goes with the responsible bidder? Is that your flexibility? Or tell me how you determine that.
Through the chair, Senator Coghill, responsible bidder, it does allow for some flexibility. My understanding in working with the procurement side of the code of statute is an RFP is written a certain way. and it allows for some flexibility and determination by, in this case, the director of the Division of Elections, to be able to evaluate a proposal that's submitted based on the RFP that has been put out and meet certain criteria and requirements in order to fulfill the RFP. So it does allow for some flexibility.
So,
Senator Cogdill, to continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So my guess is the RFP is the one that determines the responsibility.
Through the chair, Senator Cogdill, yes.
My experience, Senator Cogdill, in bidding on state work is that they want to see a track record. You know, have you done these kind of things and perform? And have you done it on time, response, and delivered the product? But most of the time, they had set up within the department some criteria for things they were going to evaluate. And in their solicitation for proposals, they spelled it out clearly. I suspect that the department would do that well. Any other questions for the presenter?
Mr. Chairman, I just would like to add, previously Senator Fairclough had carried this as a representative her first year down here. It ultimately died in the Senate Rules Committee. But with that said, there was some concern that there may be issues with changing a printer. And Senator Fairclough, and our understanding is that the division does go through a test printing period where they will test print ballots prior to an election to ensure that they are as they should appear and printed properly, so they feed through the machines properly and everything is run smoothly leading up to the actual election.
That's great. Anything else? All right. Please stand by. Gail Pernumi, are you online?
She's showing that she's online.
She
must be muted.
Yeah, Gail, can you hear us? try, see if there's a mute button there that's got you not able to transmit.
Mr. Chairman, this is Gail Pernumi. Are you the one who, I'm sorry if you called my name, I didn't hear it at the time.
All right. Please, and thank you for being available. I'd be pleased to hear your testimony or reactions to this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, this is Gail Pernumi, and I'm the director of the Division of Elections, and I appreciate the opportunity to just address a few impacts that this bill would have on the division, in my professional opinion. And I apologize for not being there in person, but I'll try to be quick and not take up too much of your time. As Ms. Pierre pointed out, that prior to 2002, the division did use a different vendor. It was a vendor who printed ballots outside of California. The state at that time prior to 2002, did not have a printer who could print the type of ballots that we needed for our optical scan equipment. And in 2002, we made the decision to change our ballot printer to an in-state printer who had the appropriate equipment and had been through the training on his own accord to be able to print our ballots. And we've used that vendor ever since, as Ms. Pierre said, and we've had a very successful and outstanding relationship with the printer. The division likes the idea of competition, and I in no way, shape, or form want you to have the impression that we are against competition at all. In fact, in 2012, we competed nearly an additional $600,000 in additional printing jobs outside of the ballot printing alone. However, in some cases, I feel in my professional opinion that competitive bidding by low bidders is not practical or feasible, and in my opinion, that is the case with ballot printing. I think, as you all agree, ballots are the most important aspect of conducting an election. It's a very complex process that requires a vendor to know the needs of the division and ballot processes in order to, for it to be done correctly. And as you're aware, if ballots are printed incorrectly, it could have significant impacts on perhaps voter disenfranchisement and the final outcome and integrity of the entire election process. We need at the divisional level certainty. As you know, we're surrounded by an environment that is very, very political, one that's constantly shifting, and challenges from parties and candidates are never at a low, and it's the division is always under public scrutiny, and I feel that the division has stood up to that very well over the past, you know, few years. We feel that the rapport and trust is gained by working with a vendor, that the rapport and trust that we have with a vendor needs to be considered, and a vendor has to be willing to, you know, take ownership in their product and stick with the division when things go bad. Like I said, fortunately, we have not faced that situation with the current vendor. It's my understanding that this bill does not allow for competitive sealed proposals or the RFP process that was mentioned. The division, according to this bill, and please correct me if I'm wrong, would be required to make a low bid award, and I don't know if the lowest price would always give the division the best value. The bill does allow for application of Alaska bidder preference and Alaska product preferences, but there are the other preferences that are contained in 3630, such as one that Mr. Chairman mentioned, minority business owners, disabled bidders, or Alaska veteran preferences are not considered in this. I just feel that the division needs to be able to allow for additional evaluating criteria, which would be the case in a request for proposal, an entire completely competitive sealed bid process, such as prior experience, ability to meet contracts on time, et cetera. And I could be wrong, but with the process that's proposed in Senate Bill 63, it seems like we're not allowed to establish that kind of criteria and use it as an evaluating factor in picking the bidder. It simply would be based on a low bid. The division, you know, does follow competitive requirements of the state procurement code for everything else. It buys forms, envelopes, voter ID cards, voter pamphlets. The most sacred part of the electoral process are the ballots, and I would sincerely hate to take a risk such as that when choosing a printer. That all being said, if the legislature and your decision is that the division does need to outbid ballots, I feel professionally that the best way would be to do a competitive sealed proposal. Like I said earlier, the advantages of an RFP would include things like being able to evaluate factors other than cost, and the division, although it wouldn't be ideal under our timelines, if we started it early enough in the calendar year of an election year, we feel that an RFP could possibly work. And I'm willing to answer any questions of the committee.
All right. Any questions from the committee?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Caudill.
Gail, that was one of the concerns I had, and that's why I asked about, I know what a responsive bidder is, but would the responsible language give you the ability to write into your RFP the flexibility that you need to find out if they're a good acting bidder?
Through the chair, Senator Coghill, I don't think it does currently, just because this bill does not allow for the full competitive sealed bid process, which you are allowed to add additional requirements to evaluate. I'm not sure I honestly do not know what our restrictions would be as far as writing additional requirements into this type of a bid process. And I'm not a procurement expert by any means, and I would need to check with our procurement folks on what our limitations would be without it seeming like the division was trying to, you know, push this in one direction or the other, which we definitely would not want to give party to.
Yeah, this is Dyson. I certainly appreciate how committed you are to being able to get a satisfactory product in a very timely fashion.
Can you rehearse for us the kind of time crunches you can get into in light of changing candidate lists or court challenges and so on that can make the time for you very tight?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. For the primary election, if we go back to the 2012 primary election, there were 22 days between the date the ballot is certified for printing and the date the ballots are required to be in the office, in our offices. There are only 7 days between the date the ballot is certified and the date the test ballots. We need them in our office to perform our ballot testing. So there's very tight timelines of printing. And then if you do recall back in 2004, there was a court challenge that required the general election ballots to be reprinted due to a ballot measure initiative language. And so there was a substantial pressure on the vendor and the division to get those ballots printed and back out and available according to our statutory deadlines.
Yeah, no, that's really helpful.
Mr. Chairman, it's a very time-compressed printing process that has a lot of sensitivity to it, and there's a lot of intricacies involved with ballot printing, as you all are probably well aware, as well as Ms. Pierre. It's not as simple as just putting a piece of paper on a copy machine and saying, print me 50,000 of this one and 25,000 of that one.
Yeah. Also, would you rehearse for us? I believe that you cooperate with local elections at times, and do you print, if you do, do you print their candidates and offices on the same ballot?
Mr. Chairman, no, we do not. If we typically do not run elections for local government, if we were asked to hold an election in conjunction with an election of ours, they would have their own separate ballot and be required for printing their own ballot.
All right. Any questions or comments from the committee? Gail, would you have any suggestions for improving this bill to give you more flexibility for what I sense is your wanting, your believing that reliable performance is the primary issue and that cost is secondary?
Mr. Chairman, I do agree that experience and reliability are key factors in the confidence of the division, as well as the confidence, you know, in voters knowing that their ballot will actually work and run through the AccuVote machines. I am, as I mentioned, I'm not a procurement expert, so the limited knowledge I have about this is that in order to ensure that those two factors could be included in part of the evaluating criteria, that we would have to do a request for proposal. And I could be wrong on that, but that's, I would need to, like I said, check with my procurement officer and get back to you on that.
Yeah. If I realize you're about to catch an airplane, if you had some more time, could you, your office, and perhaps in consultation with the procurement office, consider or perhaps come up with any changes you'd like to make to this bill?
Mr. Chairman, I would be happy to work on that. I can start working on that here in a couple hours. I'm more than happy to work with Senator Faircloth's office. I don't want the impression to be given that, you know, we're anti-competition, because we definitely are not. But I want it to be done in a fashion that's not going to impair on the integrity or the outcome of any election that the state conducts.
Yeah, that's very reasonable. One concern for all of us has got to be that you get locked into a vendor with whom you've had great experience and they perform very well for you, and then they kind of have, because of that, they've got to, can start gouging you on prices or gouging us and taking advantage of the very things you've talked about. Would you speak to that?
Mr. Chairman, I think the current vendor we have, his prices have stayed pretty steady. And it's my understanding, and I don't have the figures in front of me, but I could get those for you, and that his prices are actually lower than prices of some election companies in the lower 48 that actually do print ballots. But I think if I could provide to the committee, and I think Ms. Pierre has a copy of a spreadsheet that lists the amount we've spent on ballots over the years, and I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, it's remained fairly consistent.
All right. So based on what you have said, if you are interested in this, both talking with your own people and the procurement folks and see if there's any improvements you'd want here, I suspect that we would want you to be able to put reliability and dependability as high criteria for evaluating your contractors. Do you want to do that?
Mr. Chairman, I'd be very interested in working on that. So we could get a successful product, put it out to competitive bid to meet the desire of the legislature and the sponsor of the bill as well.
Say that all again, please.
I'd be very happy to work with the sponsor and staff and speak to our procurement folks so we could meet the desire of the sponsor to competitive bid for ballots, but then at the same time, not just solely pick a printer based on low cost, that we could use other evaluating criteria in order to select a vendor.
Yeah, and as Senator Coghill pointed out, it does allow for you to make the evaluation at respect to requirements and the criteria set out in it, and to look for a vendor that is demonstrably responsible and responsive. So if I'm going to hold this bill over give you and the bidder and with the procurement office's advice a chance to see if you can improve that. And I want you to do it not just because you're happy, but you want to make us happy, but because it would give you the chance to meet your criteria for getting balance, accurate balance out on time. Any comments, Ms. Pierre? Mrs.
No.
Pierre?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Your comments from the committee? Does it seem reasonable?
Yep.
All right. Then we have Kevin Fraley in Homer. Can you hear us, sir?
Yes, I can.
Please identify yourself and your affiliation and give us your testimony.
Thank you for taking my testimony. My name is Kevin Fraley. I am the owner of Printworks and Super Software, and we are located at 829 Smoky Bay Way in Homer, Alaska. We are the vendor that has been producing for the state of Alaska since 2002. We have been certified to produce optical scan ballots since 1998, and again, we've been producing ballots for the state of Alaska since 2002.
Can you speak up a little bit, Kevin, to get closer to the mic?
I'm calling to testify in opposition to SB 63, taking away the State of Alaska Division of Elections' ability to ensure a secure and trouble-free viable election. The most troubling part of this bill to me is found on page 4, and it reads, "A director shall award a contract for preparation of election ballots to the lowest responsible and responsive bidder." I'm opposed to this bill because of the risky nature of giving the most critical part of our election process to the lowest bidder. The bill will tie the hands of the Division of Election because it will take away their ability to choose the best and surest option. It will require them to use the cheapest option instead. And this bill does not take into account the fact that these precise optical scan ballots must be produced with the greatest of care. Printing and cutting must be within very fine tolerances, and if they are produced wrong, they will not scan. But just as critical, the state of Alaska has 40 districts, hundreds of precincts, multiple parties, which can mean as many of as 120-plus unique ballot styles, over 500,000 ballots, all of which must be produced, serialized, organized, and packaged for delivery to the precinct with accountability for proper chain of custody, and then they must be delivered to 6 different regional locations throughout our state without error and in as few as 7 to 10 days. In 2004, the director mentioned that the ballots had to be reprinted. We delivered those ballots in 4 days. And so I would like to just ask you to imagine being in the seat of the director of the Division of Elections. And election night is just about to take place. Every time an election happens, you are filled with nerves and worries because you are responsible. You know what could happen. And who knows what could happen? How confident would you feel knowing that the ballots that are about to be used have been produced by the lowest bidder? If the election ballots do not work on election night, what happens? Who is responsible? This is not about fairness and competitiveness as much as it's about making sure that the state of Alaska's election works every time without incident. And so I ask you not to pass this bill. Alas, allow the director of the Division of Elections to retain her ability to ensure a quality election for the state of Alaska. The Division of Elections was given an exemption from the bid process because of the sensitivity and the importance of our statewide and national elections. And so I ask, has the sensitivity and the importance of our elections changed? So why would anyone put our election at risk by forcing the Division of Elections to use the lowest bidder? I just would like one more thing, and that's to reference, there was a reference made to the testing of the ballots before they are used in an election. That is not entirely the case. Yes, test ballots are made, and they are sent to the Division of Elections so that they can be tested prior to an election. But not every single ballot can be tested prior to an election. A set of test ballots are made, and they are sent to the division, and they are tested. Number one, to ensure that the database works and that the election works and that everything that has been programmed works and that the printing of those ballots is working. But if the process is mishandled in any way, shape, or form, it would be very easy for the wrong file to be used in the production of the rest of the ballots. And with such a short turnaround time, it would be very easy for wrong ballots to be produced and sent to the election site. We work very closely with the Division of Elections to make sure that this would not happen and does not happen. But because of the sensitive nature of this, it is absolutely critical that the Division of Elections maintain total control of how these ballots get produced and who produces them. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Comments? Senator Coghill.
Thank you. And first of all, accept my gratitude for a job well done to date. So the question comes to our mind as we entertain this bill. How would a new entrant ever gain access to this? And if you became one that was in financial difficulties, how would I ever prove a new entrant to the bid process? How would you imagine that?
Well, I would imagine the Division of Elections doing it similarly to the way they chose us for this process. They ran us through a battery of tests. They did multiple site inspections. And they used us on a very small election, and then they used us on a little larger election, and then they used us on a statewide election. So they didn't just hand us the process. They sent us through a battery of of tests to ensure that we could deliver. And they also checked out our ability to understand the state of Alaska, the state of Alaska, and our districts and our precincts, and to make sure that we could deliver the accountability that needs to be delivered to ensure the security of an election. We're talking about election ballots. It's similar to currency. There's a serial number on every single one of them, and every one of them has to be verified that they are delivered in total. Can't be any missing. Can't be any duplicates. It's a very detailed process.
Yeah, and that's thank you, Mr. Chairman. And that's one of the things that, that you know I appreciate is it is a little bit like printing currency, and it's going to be litigated generally under some circumstances. So maybe there's a way of putting that vetting within a bidding process, and that's why I was asking how would you have the question put forward into this bidding process. The reliability is definitely a big question, and so that's why I asked the director about that responsibility. Maybe there's something that needs to be written into the procurement of these under a vetting process. So just a thought. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, excellent testimony, Kevin. Now we'll go to Anchorage, and we have Patrick Foster, A&T Publishing and Printing. Can you hear us, sir?
Hello, can you hear me?
Got you loud and clear.
Okay, good. I was could just barely hear you. Good morning, Chair Dyson and members of the committee. My name is Patrick Foster, and I've been working in the print industry in Alaska for actually about 30 years, and currently work for AT Publishing and Printing in Anchorage, Alaska. I am here in support of SB 63 because I believe it's unfair that the Division of Election continues to sole source the printing of the election ballots and has done so for about 12 years to a single shop when there are many other printing companies in Alaska fully capable of printing the ballots. In that time, I estimate the Division of Election has spent more than $3 million printing the ballots with that single company, and while they've done a terrific job, it would be reasonable to think that there are other companies that could benefit from the work. And there are other printing companies that have expressed a desire to be included in this process. Some might think that the complexity of printing those ballots is enough to leave things the way they are, but really nothing further from the truth. It's a difficult job to print in the sense that there are many parts to it, but in the end, it is ink on paper, and all print shops make a living at producing quality work in a timely manner, and they don't survive very long if they do not accomplish those two things. There are many companies, actually, several here in Anchorage, fully capable of handling the work. The volume of the work and the time required and handle the packaging and the shipping logistics as well. And while the printing of the ballots require quality and skill in their preparation, it's not beyond the scope of many fine printing companies in Alaska. There are other printing companies in Alaska that have produced these very same ballots, just not for the state of Alaska. AT Publishing serviced the needs of the municipality of Anchorage from 2004 to 2006. Of these same very same ballots, and we intend to bid on those ballots again in 2014. When the city of Anchorage, municipality of Anchorage, put their ballots out to bid in 2004, they immediately saw a savings of about $10,000 that first year and more than $35,000 over the 3 years that we had that contract. Bids, unit costs were reduced again, I think, by another 10%. When it went out to bid again. So the city of the municipality of Anchorage saved a good deal of money in the process and got a quality ballot. I've heard some concerns about the Division of Elections getting bogged down with putting them out to elect the ballots out to bid, just that whole process, and I understand that. But it is a it is something that could be written in where we could, you know, you could put them out to bid for one cycle and then had a performance renewal for another one, and do it every 4 years would seem to be a reasonable amount of time. The Division of Elections is currently protected from having to seek competitive bids for the ballots because of an exemption in the Administrative Procurement Act, and I think that provision should be removed. Opening the election ballots to competitive bid would have a variety of positive effects, not the least of which is a state saving significant amount of money. Competitive bidding does that. The level playing field would also open the door for more Alaskan printing companies to be involved, giving them the opportunity to upgrade their facilities and improve their standing in Alaska and the industry. Additionally, the state would not have to put all their eggs in one basket, relying on just one company to print the ballots, and for no other reason than that, you can imagine that a power supply to a press going down and suddenly the printer doesn't have the ability to print them. It's nice to have other printing companies with the history and skills of printing ballots. So I urge you to pass SB 63. This concludes my testimony, and be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Excuse me. Other questions for Mr. Foster? Senator Carney.
Thank you, and thank you for testifying. Very sympathetic. How would you envision, say, a performance expectation if they came in with an RFP and they wanted you to prove up your ability to print under certain conditions? If an RFP come in that actually asked for a performance schedule to be proven, would that be out of reason?
Through the chair, Senator Coghill, no, I there's a number of ways that performance can be written into a contract. For one, facilities and having site inspections. It's interesting that how do you prove performance on ballots unless you printed them, but in this case we have. But there are other types of jobs that are equal currency to other organizations, such as Chugach Electric has ballot printing as well, and they take it very seriously, and there are many companies that they go out to the lowest bid, and it's a difficult job that has the same type of requirements, obviously not by the numbers, but it is a similar type of project, and throughout each year, companies like AT Publishing produce a number of jobs for that have that same type of detail requirement and dedication to make sure that they get out right. So there are ways to do it. As for specific, hard to know which would be the best to fit this situation. I do know that site inspections and the lowest bid, you know, it's interesting. The Alaska printing community is a very strong community, and there are many large companies that can handle this process. And there would not be, you wouldn't have to do too much to have the Division of Elections come in and do site inspections and actually see that a printing company is capable of handling the volume.
One of the questions that I started off with was, you know, I know what responsive is, but responsible was kind of the big question, and actually the review kind of hits on that. So if an RFP had a very rigorous review of responsibility and economic capacity, that would not be out of line, I take it?
Through Chair Senator Coghill, no. I think you could easily, whatever definitions would seem reasonable to the Division of Elections on that would be fine. I think if you could not, if a printing company could not come up with examples of that responsibility, then they wouldn't likely want this project.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Gail Fanumiai, are you still on board? All right. Ms. Pierre, do you know how long the original contract period was for?
Mr. Chairman, as far as the original, I don't know. I know the current contract they've had for 12 years.
I appreciate that. The contractor that's producing the work now, I'd be interested in knowing how long their first contract is. I'm sure it was at least 2 years, and it wouldn't be a surprise if it had been five. But you can get back to us on that. Mr. Foster?
Am I still on?
Yeah, you are. If indeed, what would your view as a vendor be of how long the contract should be in order for it to make it economic for you to buy the equipment and systems that you would need to service the contract?
Excuse me, Mr. Chair, and I would agree that 4 years would probably be sufficient. Currently, it is year by year. There is no standing contract. We haven't had a contract that stands for 12 years. Every year, they have the Division of Elections has called us and asked us for pricing. So we have not held a contract, so to speak.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions from the committee? Any other comments, Ms. Pierre?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. So I'm going to hold this bill over. The ball is in your court, and we can wait as long as you want, but I suspect you'd want to get this back to us pretty quick, so we'll wait on you. Any other first business come forth? It is our intention. We've got a list of seven or eight bills, some of which we haven't got a request for a hearing yet, but it's our intention to not do what we did this morning, is only have one bill up. So to use you all's time as wisely as possible. I always forget to mention my committee aide, Ken Truitt, who does services very well, and I appreciate it. All right, with that, we're adjourned.